leading the conversation on the global game. This is World Football on the BBC World Service.
It's the year 2000. Standing at a bus stop is a young girl. She's nervous and excited as she waits. She has a decision to make.
Querida Marta, de 14 anos de idade.
Dear 14-year-old Marta, get on that bus. I know what you were thinking, know what you were feeling. Don't think about it. I know how scared you are.
A three-day trip on her own to Rio de Janeiro awaits. The dream of a football trial, 2,000 kilometers away. But Marta hasn't traveled out of her state before, or away from her family in the tiny town of Dois Riachos in Brazil's poor northeast. Marta is reading back the letter she wrote to her younger self that was published on the Players' Tribune website.
I still cry every time I read this letter. It's like traveling back in time, back at a bus station where I only had 1 minute to say goodbye to my family and to get on the bus.
É difícil ler essa carta porque...
I was very excited, but now I realize how hard it was. At the time, the trip was the best opportunity of my life.
A decision she would not regret, as from obscurity she rose to become a six-time FIFA World Player of the Year, a record goal scorer, and a global ambassador. I'm Julia Carneiro, and this is World Football from the BBC World Service. This is the story of Marta, Brazil's global icon.
You have Pelé, long statue, and then you have Marta. That is something special.
There's no one like her, and she's been the first real role model globally.
This girl is going to play ball. He said, Helena, how do you know? I said, it's in her look.
A CEO came to me and said, would you be interested in signing Marta? And I said, oh, yeah, I think so.
I think more than anybody else, Marta reminds people that the game is supposed to be joyful.
One of the best players for 20 years. That's unbelievable.
I wanted to be just like her. She wasn't afraid to try things, and I love that about her.
I went from competing with her to realize very early that it's a privilege to play with such an artist and a genius.
Marta came to Umeå as a young player, but, well, she left like a superstar.
Everything she did was beautiful.
I've come to Rio's iconic Copacabana beach, the deep blue sea contrasting with the soft white sand. It's the middle of the week, but it's always busy here with people bathing or practicing sports.
Eu tava treinando beach tennis porque é o esporte que atualmente eu faço.
And I've come to meet Helena Pacheco. She's playing beach tennis here, and she has a strong forehand, but she's part of football history. She was the coach who discovered Marta when she was a young player at just 14 years of age. Helena, when you think of Marta, when you think of her name, what picture comes to your mind?
Coragem, determinação.
Courage, determination. This was the essential element. For a girl from the interior of the Northeast to come to Rio de Janeiro on her own and then go to Sweden on her own. So it's not just talent. I don't say talent first because the talent was already there. The courage, I think it's more important.
A coragem ela adquiriu, então eu acho que é mais importante.
When Marta arrived in Rio, Vasco women's football coordinator Helena Pacheco was one of the first to meet her and eventually hear about the long bus journey she'd taken from home.
When she arrived, she didn't talk about it. But 2 or 3 months later, she told me this story. She said that everyone in Dois Riachos said she shouldn't go. The only person who encouraged her to go was her mother, Mrs. Teresa. She was very afraid, which is natural, for a girl of 14, 15 years old to come. She had a cousin here who helped her to come. And then she had to go back, actually, to get her documents. She was afraid to go and then not have the courage to come back again. So when I talk about courage, it's because she really had to make decisions in her life, at 14, 15 years of age, which are very difficult. To leave such a small city and come to this jungle, which is Rio de Janeiro, and succeed.
Essa selva que é o Rio de Janeiro, né? E vencer.
When you first met Marta, what struck you? What was she like?
Sim, lembro perfeitamente.
I remember perfectly. She was a girl who didn't open her mouth. She didn't say anything. She just looked at the ball the whole time. Her look was very angry at life. That really caught my attention. In fact, there is a phrase that I will never forget because I told my assistant coach. One day she didn't train that day and I told him, "This girl is going to play ball." He said, "Elena, how do you know? She didn't even train." I said, "It's in her look. She has a look of who is angry at life. This is essential for you to know how to grow." And boy, did she grow. It was spectacular.
Cresceu demais. Foi espetacular.
Eu venho de uma família muito humilde. Meu pai separou quando eu era muito jovem.
I come from a modest family. My parents divorced when I was only 1 year old.
Vendia fruta.
I used to sell fruit in the public market once a week to help my family. I worked selling clothes in the street stands. Kids should be in school, but unfortunately I had no way of going to school. My mother could not take me there because of our financial situation. My mother is definitely my hero. She went through many difficulties with children to raise. I saw that constant struggle, and that inspired me a lot to get to where I am now.
For nearly 40 years, women's football in Brazil was banned. In 1941, it was ruled that women weren't allowed to practice sports in incompatible conditions to their nature, arguing it could affect their abilities to become mothers and housewives. Women's football only became legal 3 years before Martha was born, in 1983. And in turn for Martha, she found some of those criticisms still existed when she wanted to play football 40 years later as a child.
I played for the team in a nearby town and we won the tournament for 2 years in a row. But one day the coach of another team spoke to the people who organized the tournament. He said that if I played again the following year, his team would not take part. So they ended up banning me from the tournament. I was so frustrated. Why was it so hard to accept that I was born with a talent and that playing football made me happy? I do not know if I would be the person that I am today without the obstacles I had to face. A lot of what I went through helped me grow as a person and as an athlete as well. Of course, there were things that were unnecessary, like prejudice. My passion for football started when I was 7 or 8 years old. My mother had to work all day, so I grew up at my grandmother's house. There are always lots of cousins there, mostly boys. We used to play football in the streets. A lot of my family members didn't approve of me playing. It was really frowned upon. People still thought it wasn't right for girls to play football. My mother and my brother worked all day, so they rarely saw me training or playing in the street with the boys. And every time I saw my brother come back from work, I would run home quickly to avoid a confrontation. You see, my brother was like a father for us, and he felt he needed to protect us from those that spoke badly towards us. I understand where he was coming from. The real problem was the mindset of people, their prejudice, something I have faced all my life.
Marta impressed on trial and signed for the Vasco da Gama youth team. Vasco's women's football coordinator, Elena Pacheco, recalls how Marta's raw talent and tenacity intrigued her.
Then there was a very funny scene. We started to see that she hit the ball well and so on. Indoor football is in a small field, right? And she started shooting at the goal with a lot of violence, very strong. One of those balls, she kicked very close to the goalkeeper. It hit the goalkeeper squarely in the goalkeeper's belly. Then I called her to the corner and said, "Marta, when you kick close to the goalkeeper, you don't hit that hard because the goalkeeper is on your team. We're training. You can break her nose." Then she didn't answer, she just nodded like, "Okay." The same ball came, and she did exactly the same thing. She was there to win them all, you know. In her mind, that was very focused. She had to learn and understand what the opponent is and what the team is, because she was already hitting the ball perfectly, you know.
Mas aí, a qualidade técnica apareceu muito rápido ali naquele momento, porque ela já batia na bola com uma perfeição.
So what did you propose? You were the coach of Vasco? And you offered her a contract. She was only 14. What happened then?
Então, a gente, quando a gente viu...
When we saw her technical quality, and we made a contract for her with Vasco, and when I asked her about that, it was the first time that she smiled. Since the day she had arrived, she hadn't smiled or barely said anything. Then she gave a big smile and hugged me. That might have been the most memorable thing for her. She only thought about playing, training, playing, training. She was the first to arrive and the last to leave. I want to learn how to kick with my right foot. I want to know how to take penalties. I want to take corners. I want to have a good header. I want everything. Today I tell her that in the past we used to pay her to talk, but now we pay for her to stop talking. She talks a lot, but it was great.
Hoje, antigamente a gente pagava para ela falar, hoje a gente paga para ela parar de falar.
Marta's reputation started to grow. After Vasco announced that they would no longer have a women's team, Marta moved to Santa Cruz, a club in Belo Horizonte. And by 2002, at the age of 16, the call Marta had dreamed about arrived. Her first cap for Brazil. Marta was amongst the new wave of Brazilian footballers making their mark on the women's game. She was invited to join the Brazil national youth setup, making her tournament debut at the Under-20 World Cup in Canada when she was just 16 years old.
40 kilometers across Rio from the Maracanã Stadium, I've come to the Zico Football Center, a club where the women's football team from Flamengo are holding their training sessions. I've come to meet Cristiane, who made history alongside Marta as one of Brazil's biggest football players.
I met Marta through our first call-up for under-19s. We ended up standing out in the competition and going to the national team. She was 14, I was 15. And in this interaction with each other, we ended up getting to know each other. We didn't have anyone to inspire us, because women's football wasn't shown on TV. And I played a lot in the street. So I didn't have anyone to inspire me, you know, like today's generation does. For me and Marta too, we only started to feel inspired when we started to be called up and play with more experienced athletes, where we started to have more respect.
Marta and Cristiane were impressing on the pitch, but off the field, as Cristiane recalls, they were still teenagers having fun.
Ah, bicho, tem coisa pra caramba. Agora pra trazer pra memória, eu sempre gosto de lembrar uma
Oh gosh, there are so many things now to bring them to mind. I always like to remember a story of ours in our first South American tournament, which classified us for the World Cup in 2003. And we were going to travel, I think at 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. The bus was leaving. And we had just had a snack at 10 p.m. and everyone was wide awake and Marta played the guitar. So some of us got together on her balcony and she started playing the guitar and we started singing. The supervisors got angry. One of them closed one room, the other one closed the other room, and we had nowhere to run. And we got to the airport. The coordinator director took our passport as if to say, you were cut, you are not going. We got really nervous, like, man, we understand that it was wrong, but imagine 14 or 15-year-old girls who didn't have an idea of how a professional athlete should be. We were full of adrenaline, and then he gave us a reprimand. And in the end, we ended up going to the competition and bringing the first South American title to the Brazilian team. There are a lot of cool stories. There's a lot to remember.
I've come to meet journalist Renata Mendonça in Copacabana. She's been covering women's football in Brazil since 2015, and we worked together way before that, and I followed her uphill battle to carve out space for women's football in the media here, where all people talked about were the men's teams. This has changed a lot, right, Renata, since you started?
Well, yes, especially in the past 5 to 6 years, I believe that women has been finding more spaces in the media, and because of that, or as a consequence of that, we are talking much more about women's football. Of course, 2019, I believe it's a special year for women's football in Brazil because it was the first time that the biggest TV here was broadcasting the Women's World Cup. So it was the first experience of a lot of people getting in touch with the women's team. And I believe from that to now, a lot of things have changed. Now you can just turn on the TV and watch some of the championships, even the women's national team playing in friendlies, which was not common before 2019. So I believe it's more like we're talking much more about this. It's not nothing compared to the men's teams and the men's tournaments, but it's something like we can find some space to talk about women's football.
Do you think Marta helped to change that, having been FIFA Player of the Year for 6 times? How much attention did that bring to women's football?
Definitely. I think that if Marta was not from Brazil, we wouldn't be seeing many of the things that we are seeing in the past decades, actually. The recognition for her came much later than it should, because, you know, she's been playing as one of the best in the world since 2003. But I believe that the only time that she was actually recognized and for being such an icon was 2018, was when she was elected for the 6th time the best player in the world.
In 2003 came a defining moment for Marta, the chance to shine on the grandest stage of all, as she made her World Cup debut in the United States. At that point, fans and coaches hadn't heard of Marta, yet 14 minutes into the opening match, she scored her first goal, a penalty against South Korea. Despite their quarterfinal exit against Sweden, 3 goals for a 17-year-old in her first World Cup was a big statement. Here's Marta's teammate, Cristiane.
We started to understand what it was to be an athlete and not just a player. She went to the World Cup in 2003. She was 17. She stood out even more than me in her position. And I came in 2004. It was during Renée's time. Renée started to introduce us to what really was to be a professional athlete. He changed a lot of things within the Brazilian team, like the gym. Until then, only the men could use it, and he fought for us to use it too. We received a very low daily allowance, and he helped us to get, in addition to the daily allowance, more financial aid.
She was only 17 years old, and she was playing football, but still didn't know much. Is it possible to do this for a living, for example? Because up until then, all the experiences that she had in football was like, you know, I'm trying to do what I love, but the world is telling me that I don't belong to this world. So I believe that this World Cup was very important for the world to get to know such a talent. But I think we can't compare, for example, to what it was Pelé being 17 years old in his first World Cup. Because it's such a different context, you know. You couldn't watch the Women's World Cup in Brazil in terms of, you know, turning on the TV in such a big channel and get to know, oh yeah, there's a Women's World Cup on TV. You didn't know. So much of what she did at that time in that World Cup, most of the people don't even know, didn't even watch.
Cristiane, Marta's teammate, is a legend within Brazilian football herself. But she wouldn't know back then that she would become part of a trio with Marta and Formiga that would become the spine of the Brazil team, playing attractive, playmaking football.
Playing with both of them for so many years in the Brazilian national team was a great pleasure for me. Formiga came before us, and she brought even more of her experience. For me, it was very easy to play with the two of them. We could understand each other and connect through a look. We didn't even need to say a word. I think it makes life easier for any athlete when you play with teammates like that.
And what's Marta's attitude like when she's around the team?
She's very competitive, as it should be. As is an athlete who has the ambition to win, who has the ambition to be a champion, with a very strong personality, very much her own. Trying to be communicative with the other girls on a daily basis. She plays around like all the others do. It's easy to deal with Marta.
Marta was flying high on the national team, but her next step at club level, well, even she didn't believe it at first. Umeå, Sweden. It was probably the most unlikely next destination for the world's new emerging star. When Marta received a call from the sporting director of Umeå, and reigning European champions, she didn't believe it was true, according to her first coach, Elena Pacheco.
She went to the World Cup, and she was one of the highlights of the tournament. And it was really cool because she came to show me the contract from Sweden so I could read it to find out what that was, if it was good for her. I paid for the contract to be translated. I was very afraid of prostitution, of trafficking of women. So I consulted CBF to see what it was and if the club existed. Then they said yes. It was all true. It was all legal. The translation showed it was a good contract. The money was great. The only thing I asked to include was English classes. I gave her some instructions and she took flight. She took flight. The little bird flew and left the cage. It was awesome.
Voou. Ela voou. Passarinho voou. Saiu da gaiola.
After being convinced Umeya's bid for her was legitimate, Marta finally landed at the airport in Sweden, with the shock of seeing the runway full of snow. This small town with a population of 100,000 people would become Marta's home.
André Jeglots, I was coach and manager during in Umeå 2004 until 2008. Remember the first sessions? We practiced inside, it was winter. She came during February, it was 25 degrees minus outside, and she came to Sweden, and yeah, you saw that individually she did things that nobody else could do, because she was quicker, she had a great left foot, she never lost one against one situation, and yeah. We had one of the best teams in the world at that time. We won Champions League that year, so there were so many great football players in that team. She had a special skill, but at the same time, she couldn't use her right foot. She couldn't head the ball. But her unique skill with her left foot and the speed and the ability of changing direction was definitely unique. But I couldn't say at that moment, well, this would be the best player in the world forever. I didn't know about the mentality. Was she ready to handle that? But she showed that she did. She wanted to learn, but she was very stubborn. Stubborn about the winning mentality. I would say that also, because that is a little bit about the stubbornness of, if she has decided that she wants to finish in a certain way, she did it. And then she kept on practicing it. Strength and conditioning in the gym wasn't the best thing for her. She didn't like to go to the gym in that way, but she was the strongest, she was the fastest player. She did it, but you could see that that wasn't the favorite time of the day.
Marta's performances also attracted interest from outside Sweden.
When I was a young coach assisting Vic Akers at Arsenal, we played the Women's Cup two-legged final against Umeå, the Swedish champions, and they had a young Marta. And I remember being on the touchline over both legs and thinking, oh my goodness, who is this extraordinary player?
USA coach and former Chelsea manager Emma Hayes remembers Marta's first years in Sweden and how she stood out on the European stage.
To witness what she's done on the pitch, for all of us that love the women's game, she's been more than just a role model and an icon. She's been the best player over a long period of time. But what she's done for Brazil and for those women, I look at the generation coming through and the inspiration she has been to them.
Marta didn't have to wait long to taste success in Europe for the first time. 1 year after signing for Umeå, it was a 2004 UEFA Women's Cup final against Frankfurt, now known as the Champions League. Over the course of two legs, Marta scored 3 goals to guide her team to a convincing 8-0 victory. Coach Jeglerts felt he'd found the best position for her to succeed.
I think that's the first experience that I had, that you put her in situations where she can end up one against one. How can you create that? And even if they mark her, whatever, she will always get rid of the marker. You know, we coaches try to structure everything we need to try. But for her, she was good in playing on her best skills.
One of Marta's teammates at Umeå was the current president of the Norwegian Football Federation, Lisa Klaveness.
She was a young girl. I had my own ambitions, and we all had. We had a great team, and it was the world's best club team at the time. So a lot of people wanted to be the best in the world, so it was a very competitive team. But I spent some weeks before I realized that, no, she has something from above. And because I was also a dribbler and a creative player, I went from competing with her to realize very early that it's a privilege to play with such an artist and a genius, you know, with what I love, to be able to see a maestro in action. So for me, it was actually a very groundbreaking thing to work with Marta and see her art, because for me it was art. She was a dancer, you know, she could do anything with the ball so fast. As a person, she was just very modest, you know, and she wanted to avoid media and try to live in peace, but she was a rock star on the field, so it was, of course, a dilemma for her. Now I see that she's very outgoing with the media and really strong in her messaging. But back then, I think she wanted to just to play.
Until then, no Brazilian women's player had played outside of Brazil. But Marta liked it so much, years later, she got the Swedish citizenship. Marta's coach at Umeå, André Jäglerts, again.
The team did go to the city and had, Sweden, they call it fika, take a coffee and eat some cake. You go to the city and just sit somewhere. That is a typical Swedish thing, and she always joined those parts. And during winter, we had one winter where we went, that was pretty fun. You were going skiing and going with a scooter on the snow, and those were totally things that she has never experienced since before. Just looking at her, not as a player, but all these impact she has had to the game. Women's rights in her own country. All the speeches she had in front of FIFA tournaments. All the statements she has done. That's the most important thing she has done.
After winning the European Cup, Marta's first Olympic Games had arrived. The 2004 Athens Games. Marta and Cristiane, the tournament's top scorer, led Brazil to the final. Brazil took USA to extra time, only to be beaten 2-1. Brazil and Marta celebrated winning Olympic silver. 2004 was certainly a standout year for Marta, nominated for the FIFA Women's Footballer of the Year awards for the first time. It was an emotional moment for her, although her first coach, Helena Pacheco, made sure she didn't get too carried away.
There's something very interesting. When she was first nominated, she sent me an email. I was nominated to be the best in the world. I said, how wonderful this is. But you won't win. Then she said, Helena, how can I not win? I was the top scorer in the championship. Then I said, because there is a girl in the United States called Mia Hamm. She was an Olympic champion and she was world champion and she's a great player and she's going to win. But next time you're going to win. So she got mad that I told her that. And then she was nominated again and won. There's nothing like being older to understand politics, right?
Então, nada como ser mais velha e entender da política, né?
But it was only the start. Marta won 4 league titles with Umeå and would go on to dominate the FIFA awards from 2006, winning the Footballer of the Year 5 times in a row. In 2007 came a defining moment for Marta. In front of 68,000 fans at Brazil's iconic Maracanã Stadium, Marta and the Brazilian team beat the United States to win the Pan American Games. Marta's profile was growing. Her flair and creativity in front of the goal saw her compared by football fans to the Brazilian great Pelé. Marta even said Pelé himself called to congratulate her on the win, and the recognition just kept coming. Aged 21, she was idolized outside Rio's Maracanã Stadium with the imprint of her feet recorded in cement at the stadium. The first woman to be honored like this. Legendary Swedish coach Pia Sundhage coached Brazil later in Marta's career, between 2019 and the 2023 World Cup. Pia speaks of being surprised that the women's team only recently have started to get more recognition.
I remember the first time I went into that museum, that's a couple of years ago, my first year, and where is the women's football? In the corner. They have changed that. It has to be happening.
I've come to Brazil's legendary Maracanã Stadium, the temple of football, and I'm going through the entrance surrounded by huge concrete pillars. This was the stage for the World Cup finals in 1950 and 2014,
and it's set to host the opening and closing matches of the Women's World Cup in Brazil in 2027. Now, I'm joining visitors arriving for a tour of the stadium and a taste of football history. Okay, so can I ask you to introduce yourself and tell me who you are, what you do?
Yes, I am Thais. I'm a guide here in the Maracanã tour. And now is I will show the Maracanã for the people for all of the world.
Lots of visitors come here to see the history of football.
Very, very peoples. There are a lot of countries. Colombia, England, Denmark, and all of the world.
So I'm coming inside the stadium to join other visitors for a tour of Maracanã.
Yeah.
Thais, what are we going to see here?
You see the museum, a little museum, the mixed zone, the locker rooms, the stadium. We see the stadium from the bench and from the tribunes, also the press room, the conference room. It's all of the tour.
Wow, so we'll get a taste of everything that happens in the match and surrounding it.
Yeah, that's it. You can feel as a player and enjoy it. The same experience to be here in a match day.
What is the meaning of this place for you? Are you from Rio?
Yeah, I'm from Rio, and for me it's my home, my second home. It's very nice to see the people and realize a dream. And meeting Maracanã, and some people when see the stadium, they cry, and always they say, it's a dream to me to be here, so it's very nice.
In 2007, Marta was the focal point of the Brazil team. When the World Cup finals in China arrived the same year, Brazil felt confident in their abilities, as Marta's teammate Cristiane explains.
It was a very significant and important change, which had been fantastic in Rio de Janeiro, where we won the Pan American Games. We went with the team ready to fight for the title. It was a very strong and competitive championship.
Marta scored 5 goals en route to the semifinals of the World Cup, which meant another meeting with the women's football heavyweights, USA, who were unbeaten in over a year.
I'm Heather O'Reilly, former professional footballer with the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Marta was and is an incredible footballer. She is able to change a game in a moment.
For Brazil's Cristiane, the whole team felt more prepared for this semifinal than before.
It was always very competitive to play against the United States. 1-1 or 1-0. At that time, we only had DVDs, so we got the footage for the entire United States game. Everyone went with a notebook and a pen. Let's watch the game, let's find our weaknesses.
Our coach had made an interesting decision to make a goalkeeper change right before the game. He put Brianna Scurry in the starting lineup and took out Hope Solo. So that was the storyline of the match. We believed in our teammate, Brianna Scurry. We thought that she could get the job done. And this was just the match from absolute hell for us. We went down a player in the first half of the game. We scored an own goal. Pretty much it was the perfect storm of events that could go against us. And to add to it, the Brazilians were on fire. Playing on top of their game, Marta was dancing on the ball at every opportunity.
Marta scored twice in the semifinal, but her second goal, which was Brazil's iconic fourth, to this day is described as arguably the best goal in women's football.
I just remember almost feeling bad for my teammates. I mean, she was just going 1v1 against pretty much all of us and just absolutely frying us. And then just the clinical finish just topped it all off. An incredible player, an incredible goal. If it wasn't for me being on the other side of it, I probably would watch that goal over and over because it was one of the best of all time.
Marta and Brazil left the Americans stunned. It was a masterclass from the South American team.
It was a victory for everyone, really, to perform and say, wait a minute, we need to see how the United States plays so that we can do things differently. And we really did it differently.
USA 0, Brazil 4 it finished.
Goals come easily to these girls, not least the scoring machine that is Marta.
It's so refreshing for the game for a team like Brazil to come along and be in a final through sheer flair and skill. It's refreshing for the game. It's really, really good.
Sadly, for Brazil, overcoming Germany in the final was a step too far, losing 2-0. But for Brazil and women's football in the country, 2007 was a groundbreaking moment. Women's football had its global star, and it was Brazilian. After that incredible Brazil win, USA would get their revenge 1 year later, beating Brazil to win gold in the final of the Beijing 2008 Olympics. Brazil's chances of gold thwarted by the Americans again. After the World Cup, the next few years at club level were full of trophies and accolades for Marta, although uncertainty too. Marta swapped Sweden for the US to play for Los Angeles Sol in the inaugural season for the new Women's Soccer League. It was a star-studded team. She finished as the league's top scorer, but there were problems off the pitch and the club folded at the end of the season. The chance to play football again in Brazil then arrived, signing for Santos, Pelé's former club. Marta impressed her fans back home, helping her team lift the Copa do Brasil trophy.
When Marta played for Santos, that was actually a very nice match because, you know, Santos was the club of Pelé. So the king of football played for Santos. And then the queen of football played for Santos. So in 2009, when she started playing in Brazil, fans started having the opportunity to see her.
That's Brazilian journalist Renata Mendonça again. With no women's equivalent to the Copa Libertadores, pressure grew on the South American Football Confederation to change that. Was it because the world's most famous women's footballer was playing in Brazil?
It happened, actually, in Santos and Guarujá, because of this pressure, because Marta played Copa do Brasil, she won Copa do Brasil with Santos, and then they started, okay, we have to have a Copa Libertadores. So they created, Marta was champion, and of course she won the title with Santos twice. So it was a very special moment for her career, and that Santos is, up until now, they talk, you know, we had the king of football and the queen of football playing for us.
For a career that started with Brazil in 2003, over 20 years ago, Marta's success still appears relevant to today's players, as I found out when visiting Flamengo.
My name is Giovanna. I'm 21 years old. Marta has always been an inspiration to me since I was young because of her great achievements in women's football. Marta is known everywhere. If you ask on the street, if you ask boys, if you ask girls, everyone knows Marta.
Hi, I'm Gabriela Carvalho Louvain. I think that today women's soccer is what it is because of Marta and others. Like Cristiane, Formiga, Sissi. I think that she is the image of football in general, worldwide, not just in Brazil. So I think that today, the generation that's coming, we have not an obligation, but a feeling of kind of thanking her and continuing the legacy that she left in women's football.
I experienced very little, but I'm sure she experienced a lot more prejudice. The idea that soccer isn't for women, that kind of thing. So I always looked at Marta and thought, if she can do it, I can do it too. Today, things are a lot easier for us because she's worked hard for things to be as they are today.
After success with Santos, Marta then returned to the U.S., to the San Francisco Bay Area, with FC Gold Pride, led by Marta and Canada striker Christine Sinclair, finishing top of the league in the regular season. Marta was the hero again, golden boot winner and scoring twice in the final. Marta, like Sinclair, then switched San Francisco for New York. 3 years, three different U.S. teams. And again, yes, you've guessed it, Marta won silverware, a third consecutive golden boot, and guided the Flash to the 2011 regular season championship title. The celebrations were short-lived, however, as in 2012, the U.S. Women's Soccer League folded. Marta turned to a place she also called home, Sweden. In fact, Tiresu, winning the league title in her first year, Marta was becoming a serial winner.
It was a dream for me, really. I grew up without without women reference because I didn't know that was it was possible to be a professional football player. And the first one that I read or I hear about, it was Marta.
Spain's captain at the time, Vero Boquete, played in the same team.
I started to hear that the club was talking to her to bring her. I was like, no, it is not possible. Dealing with pressure, dealing with all the weight that she has in women's football in general, in her country. Yeah, she is, for me, for sure, the best player in the history.
The following year, Tiresu narrowly missed out on winning the Champions League final after losing 4-3 to Wolfsburg. It's a final the 2014 FIFA World Player of the Year, Wolfsburg's Nadine Kessler, remembers well.
She was at her best in these days, and honestly, we almost lost the final because of her. She's an incredible player, and it's been incredible to play against her. And there's no one like her, and I still think, it will take a while for somebody to achieve what she's achieved for our game.
Kessler is now head of women's football at UEFA and knows how vital Marta has been to increasing the popularity of the game around the world.
She's been one of the first real role model globally, and I think it's also one part of her legacy to the game that nowadays we have more, and that's great, you know, it's so important.
Marta's final club in Sweden wouldn't be Tyresö, but Rosengård. Marta may not have known in 2017 her longest spell in club football would follow, this time at Orlando Pride, a return to the U.S., working under Tom Sermani, the current Australia coach.
Marta's agent was the same agent as Kaká, who played for the men's team in Orlando. Our CEO basically came to me and said, would you be interested in signing Marta? And I said, well, yeah, I think so. It was a huge coup. But she was by far apart from the US national team players, obviously, she was by far the biggest star ever to come in the league. And I think the importance of that is it gives the league credibility. And I think that's probably the main thing that she did, as well as a huge amount of excitement around Orlando.
That initial contract would see her stay at the club for over 7 years. Despite the frustrations of missing out on silverware, Marta would make Orlando her home.
Marta is definitely a legend in this game, so we're very lucky to have her in this team.
I love seeing her dribble through three defenders, and just amazing to see what she can do. It's unbelievable.
You couldn't get her off the training field. In Orlando, it's hot in the summer, as you know. She wanted to be in everything. She does the simple things extraordinarily well. I barely remember her making a bad decision in a football match.
In 2015 and 2019, Brazil exited the World Cups in the last 16 knockout stage. Disappointment for the nation, even though for Marta, she broke more records, including becoming the first player, male or female, to score at 5 FIFA World Cup tournaments. But it was at the Rio Olympics where Marta felt the pressure, a home Olympics, a chance to put women's football in the spotlight and showcase to Brazilians in particular that the game was worth investing in. Here's Brazilian journalist Renata Mendonça.
2016 represents like the beginning of a change in Brazilian society in terms of noticing the women's football. We could see some people, some kids even, wearing shirts, Brazilian jerseys, putting Marta's name instead of Neymar's name. So it was written Neymar's name, and they would
cross it out
and write Marta. That was when people started noticing Marta, the national team, the importance of following women's football here. And they started, well, why are we always talking about the men's team? And we're not talking about the women's team. And of course, the men's team was not doing well because the World Cup here was 7-1. Then that Olympics in the beginning, Brazil was not doing well. So it was a very important moment for the women's national team because they got people's attention. I remember the game Australia against Brazil, that was quarterfinals, and it was when Mata missed a penalty shot. So she was so worried about Brazil getting out of the competition, getting knocked out of the competition because of her. So when the goalkeeper saved the next penalty shot, she was like, oh my God, in tears, very emotional, because she knew how heavy it was, what she was carrying, you know. She was carrying a nation. And she knew that she could not disappoint the nation in the first time the nation stopped to watch women's football. So when they actually got knocked out in the semifinals, penalty shot as well, at Maracanã, and I was there, and it was one of the saddest moments. Mata gave an interview, and she was crying, and she was begging people, just don't abandon women's football. You know, so because she, at that time, she thought she was responsible for carrying the responsibility of women's football in the country. So she thought that she had to take the country to the gold medal in order to change everything in women's football. She didn't understand at that time that it was not up to her.
After losing to France at the 2019 World Cup, Mata used her post-match interview on camera to give a strong speech that would go viral.
We are asking for support. You have to cry at the beginning and smile at the end. It's about wanting more. It's about training more. It's about being ready to play 90 minutes and then 30 minutes more. There's not going to be a Formiga forever. There's not going to be a Marta forever. There's not going to be a Cristiane.
When Mata spoke, people listened. She was using her platform for change. What did Brazil teammate Cristiane think when she embraced that role?
I think that in a way, historically, we have had many athletes who have demanded better working conditions so that we can do our work, to create the minimum conditions we need. I think they have been active voices for many years. Marta had this role, she has a very active voice, but we don't know who is going to take this forward and continue doing this. Our generation fought a lot for everything we have today, and the girls benefit a lot from what we have achieved. There was a lot of fighting so that we could have some peace of mind. But I don't think we can be complacent and think we have everything. We hope that those who continue in this sport will have an active voice, just like our entire generation did, allowing for all the changes that happened and our felt today.
Here's Brazilian journalist and football commentator on TV Globo, Renata Mendonça.
In 2019, that's when we get to know a Mata that is much more aware of her role. Because then she became the UN ambassador, and I believe that she understood her role as a feminist, as someone who would fight for women's rights. And that was when she started understanding the importance of her voice. Because before that, she was always like, saying, I'm sorry. Because from 2019, that's when, for example, the TV audience in Brazil was huge. So there was a lot of things that we heard at that time. It was like, nobody wants to watch women's football. Nobody cares about women's football. You know, you cannot put it on TV because people don't want to watch it. And then that World Cup, 30 million people were watching it. There was more people watching the World Cup, the final between the U.S. and the Netherlands, here in Brazil than in the U.S. This, combined with Marta's speech, Marta's authenticity, the way she spoke about that, and also the different moment of Brazilian society in terms of recognizing that women had the right to play. It was about women's rights. Women's football was also about women's rights. So all that combined made some changes. It was really rare to see women's football being discussed in a newsroom, in a sports newsroom. It was not on topic. You know, people didn't care about what was happening in women's football. So from 2019 and up until now, then we understand, oh, okay, it's September, the final of the league is happening. So we need to cover that. We need to cover that tournament. We need to cover the friendly that Brazil will play. So it started to be more like usual to discuss women's football in the newsrooms. And of course, this brought much more visibility to the topic.
Marta's final World Cup would be in Australia 2023. Sadly for the Brazilian, it ended in the group stage. Would she retire? Not quite yet.
There is no magic if we want to change the situation. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep doing our job in the best possible way to show people that women's football is possible. That it is cool and exciting, and that is the same thing as men's football. The pitch is the same, the ball is the same, there is the same desire to do your best. We have to be an example for future generations, so that it will be normal to see women playing football.
She's the best football player ever, and she's very competitive. She is the queen.
Legendary Swedish coach Pia Sundhage coached Brazil later in Marta's career, between 2019 and the 2023 World Cup.
There's one situation in football where you talk about the final pass. You break the last line and it's difficult. You give away the ball and so on. Marta, I've seen so many crazy good final passes. And she looks to the right and plays to the left, and it's phenomenal.
It seemed there would be one last chance for gold at the Paris 2024 Olympics. Marta and Brazil's hopes looked over after she was sent off for a high boot against Spain in the final group match, walking off the pitch in tears. Banned for 2 matches due to the red card, the Brazil team forged ahead. When they met Spain again in the semifinals, Brazil secured an impressive 4-2 win over the world champions. And then Marta was back. The final saw many players like USA striker Sophia Smith just in shock to be facing their idol in such an important match.
I just remember all the time my dad would pull up YouTube videos, Marta highlights, and it was like I would spend hours watching them. She would just do things that I didn't see anyone else doing, and I still very rarely see anyone doing these things, and I wanted to be just like her.
Only one goal split the teams. Mallory Swanson's winners saw Brazil lose 1-0, ending Marta's dreams of Olympic gold. She settled for silver for the third time. But Marta's success, as we've heard, isn't just measured on the pitch. She wants to keep inspiring the next generation.
Honestly, even my growing up, I've been looking up to Marta, and it's a dream come true to be together with her. She always encouraged me. She's a very good person.
That's Marta's teammate and current Orlando Pride striker, Zambia's Barbara Banda. After 8 years, Marta has won her first trophy with Orlando Pride. They finished top of the table in the National Women's Soccer League, the top league in U.S. football.
I saw at the museum in Rio, you have Pelé, one statue, and then you have Marta. That is something special.
Legendary Swedish coach Pia Sundhage coached Brazil later in Marta's career.
If you look around the world, what's happening with the women's game is growing so fast, and it's getting better and better. And I think, honestly, we've just seen the start of this big growth.
So what's next for Marta? Here's journalist Renata Mendonça.
If you look at the past 5 years, this is the best year of her career. So there is a World Cup coming to my country. She's saying that she wants to be a mother and that it's time to maybe stop playing for that. But I believe that she doesn't have the answer. When is she going to stop? And I truly believe that she's been thinking, is it possible for me to go into 2027? It's hard to understand what goes through her mind.
And as for Marta herself?
I don't normally focus too much on Marta, on myself. Do you know what's cool? When I started playing, I didn't have an idol, a female idol.
No feminino. Vocês não mostravam o jogo no feminino.
You guys didn't show any female games? How was I supposed to see other players? How was I supposed to understand that I could arrive at a national team and become a reference?
Hoje a gente sai na rua e as pessoas param, os pais param e falam.
Today, when you go out on the street, people stop. The parents stop and say, oh, my daughter loves you, she wants to be just like you. And it's not just Marta, it's other athletes as well. This wouldn't have happened if we had stopped in the first obstacles we faced. 20 years later, we have become a reference for many women all over the world.